listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Well, hello there. From beautiful Columbia, South Carolina, located somewhere just west of the river, this is the Local Bar. I am your host, Chad Alexander, and of all the places you can be, you have decided to spend some time with us today, my friend. Hell yeah. So nice to be back with you. Took some time. Let me tell you something. Two things I will never apologize for. Spending any time with my girls and spending some time with my girl. We had a week last week due to some spring breaks and cards falling in the right places that we had a childless week and a childless weekend, and even though we missed them terribly, those never come around. And for those of you that have been looking for the Local Bar and Welding a Family, we're a little late from last week. As a matter of fact, have spilled into the next, and we're not sorry about it at all. But thank you for being with us. It's great to be back. Have a lot to talk about, and have a very different show this week. One that I've been wanting to do, one I've been trying to think about how I wanted to do it, and really, I just don't think there's a better way than me just getting on here and running my mouth. Couple of things. Of course, as always, you can find us at Local Bar Media. You want to hear our other show, Welding a Family? You can find it on iTunes as well. You support everything that we do at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/localbar to support this show and the other shows and all the support you give. We greatly, greatly appreciate. Thank you so much for all that you do. So Easter was this past week. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. If you don't have kids, you may not know this, but Easter is getting out of hand very quickly. People are getting bicycles for Easter now. I'm not quite sure what to do. It's starting to look like Christmas. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I know it's crazy. It's in April. I don't want to get on my soapbox about it. I'm not trying to be old man Chad or to say that I didn't get stuff for Easter. I did, but oh my God, the stuff people are getting for Easter. We ran into a friend the other day who was just disheveled from running around trying to put Easter baskets together for her kids and her husband. If you look like Christmas Eve on Easter Eve, then you can probably back it down a little bit. For any of you that went above and beyond, I'm not harping on you. I just kind of feel sorry for you. I didn't realize we had Christmas Junior at Easter now. That's one of the craziest things, man. So for all of you that have gone through the hard time of Easter, I hope you are relaxing and enjoying the true reason for the season, which is now. Spring breaks have been going around. People are at work, people not at work, all the kids going down to the beach. Just a great time. Man, just love it. Love it when the weather turns. Starts to feel all nice and warm. It's a great time of year. Can't complain. My daughter, Bryn, has gotten a Moana outfit. I have not seen this movie yet. It's apparently a pretty good one. Out of all the Disney movies, it's probably the one that, I don't know, but to me feels like it was kind of promoted the least, but I think it's done very well in theaters. And everybody I've heard who has seen it has loved it. Well, both Sterling and Bryn, both of our little girls, love it. And neither me or Maria have seen it. And Bryn got a Moana outfit, which for a six-year-old is a little bit much because kind of does that bear midriff thing. You know, it's like, oh, it's a Hawaiian outfit. It is cute, but we apparently have decided to wear it for 3 days straight. Daddy's a little ready for that stomach to get covered up a little bit. I don't need my daughter looking like she's going to look when she's 16 at six. I'm dealing with enough stuff right now about both of these girls growing up too fast. God, I swear, people say that kids grow up fast, and until you have one and watch it, before your eyes. You know, the weird, the funny thing is like you see how much they're growing up. You're like, oh my God, like look how old they look. Like, oh my God, they act like they're so old now. They're speaking to me in a different way. God, where have the 6 years gone? I'll tell you where they've gone. Go find a picture of yourself when they were born. Holy crap. I have apparently aged at an exponential rate over these past 6 years. I mean, I know your boy Chad has gone through a divorce, a job change, a bunch of stress and everything, but you ever seen those old pictures where they show the president before he begins his office and then afterwards, and we're all shocked to be, oh my God, look how gray they are. Oh my God, look at the wrinkles. They're there that weren't there. 6 years of your life after you've had a child, those wrinkles and that gray will be there if you're lucky enough to have the hair left to be gray. Man, I'm talking, this life is not slowing down. It will not slow down for your boy. It's killing me. And Tuesday, April the 18th, is arguably the second hardest day that your boy's going to have this year. I don't know why this is bothering me, but tomorrow is a big sign of life not slowing down. And I'm trying. I am standing on the precipice of a midlife crisis, and I'm trying like hell to not jump off that cliff. And there are 2 days where I believe it could happen, either tomorrow or June 3rd. And I'll explain all that next. Before I get into the story here, let me tell you what, something's been bothering me lately. Man, I'm realizing the older I get, what's the best way to put this without getting in trouble right now? The older I get, the more I see people being okay with letting you down. And I can't decide if that's true or if when you're a kid, you're on naivety, doesn't let you see it, or you just kind of believe. But I have a hard time thinking that too, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I tell Bryn, my 6-year-old daughter, that I'm going to do something, if it's not done, she asks about it the very next time we're together. Like, she knows when a promise has been made. But even if it's not that, like, even if it's been something said in passing, like, in other words, if I know that I've told Bryn we're going to do something, then by God, we're going to be doing it. She is not going to let me get away with it. I'm starting to see, the older I get, that people are just kind of okay with saying, screw that. You're just going to have to deal with it. Or, you know, sorry, some things don't really work out in your favor. I've never been a big fan of that. There's a saying that life's not fair. I had a very set in his ways grandfather who was really, really tough and very staunch in his beliefs. But it didn't come without a story or an explanation of why he was that way. And I know it, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate who he was. And one of the things he used to tell me when I was younger is, Chad, people that tell you that life is not fair are just people that don't want to pull their own weight. Now, sometimes life itself is not fair. Bad things happen to good people. When you see something traumatic, like someone who was taking from us too soon for some reason or another. Yeah, sure, that life can not be fair. That is very possible. But I'm talking about the jacklegs that sit around and they're kind of like, well, sorry you didn't get your way. Kind of promised you we were going to do something, but life's not fair. I used to get so mad about that when I was a kid. I had this, I still kind of carry it with me today. If you make a deal with me, you better damn well keep it. Like, you better go to the ends of the earth to make it happen. And not because I'm special, but because I was taught a long time ago that I better do that. There's a guy that was my dad's best friend he's ever had. We lived next door to him in the big city of Travelers Rest, South Carolina, which is just as large as it sounds. Actually, today it's actually this really cool, almost kind of hipster place. Like I took my daughter up there to see like my dad's church, and they were having this festival downtown, and this brewery was right across the street from the church. There were no breweries back in the day when I was growing up there. The Swamp Rabbit Trail, where all these hippies are walking up and down smelling like patchouli and pot, that wasn't there back in my day. That wasn't there. We were playing on train tracks throwing pine cones at each other. I don't know what all that was. But it's a beautiful town, gorgeous town up in the upstate of South Carolina, right, nestled right in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I loved it up there. Well, my dad's very best friend it lived next door to us, and my mom's as well. Ralph and Ruth were a part of our lives in a way that I have yet to come across anybody else that played that role. And they probably shouldn't. Because where I was at that time, I was a very young kid, and they had three kids. One of them was my age. His name was Kevin. We'll get to Kev here in a minute. But you got to understand, Dad and Ralph were inseparable, and they did a lot of cool things. I mean, yeah, they sat and had a few brewskis in Ralph's garage. That's kind of putting it lightly. Spent many a good evening on the back porch that Ralph had built. Ralph got into riding his bike. Dad was always into running. They were always doing something together. Tons of trips down to Georgia, where Ralph was from. Our families were inseparable, and then life taught us that there's no such thing as that. And sadly, Ralph passed away back in 1999. It was really sad. Died of a heart attack while he was riding his bike in Traveler's Rest, one of his favorite things, one of his favorite places. Just sad to see him go so soon. But Dad and Ralph did do a lot of amazing things. One of them was they pretty much together, along with some other amazing people, built a wonderful church and a wonderful community that is still up there today. Ralph was amazing to me because Ralph, I knew, would be that guy if something ever happened to my dad. I knew he would be that dad. Ralph taught me how to tie my shoe. He taught me how to ride a bike. And he was always, he would cut my butt just as quick as he would cut Kevin's or David's or Lee's. He was always very lenient to my little sister Abby. But he would do that. And everybody in my family looked up to Ralph and Ruth, but especially to Ralph, because of the father figure he really was to all of us. There was a moment when I was in high school where my dad had pericarditis, which is the sac around your heart gets inflamed because of an infection or a virus, excuse me. And we thought Dad was having a heart attack. It's very scary. And when Ralph walked in to my English class to get me. I was in 10th grade. I expected the worst. Not because I was fearful of something happening to my dad, but I knew that if Ralph Buchanan was there, that it was probably something kind of harsh. That wasn't it at all. It was because Ralph wanted to be the one that was going to pick me up from school, even if he had to come all the way from Alabama to pick me up, which is what they did. Ralph was something else. Let me tell you about his son, though. Kevin is the oldest friend that I have. Not in years. That would be Sean. No, but Kevin is one of my groomsmen. Kevin was a groomsman in my first marriage. He's the only one from the first one that made the cut to the second. If for some reason this wedding doesn't last, Kevin's not invited to the next one. I informed him of that last night when we were sitting around talking. But Kevin is the friend that, I mean, we've known each other since like preschool, maybe even before preschool. We were together and neighbors until we were about 10, 11 years old. And then my dad moved because of his job. And so we moved a few hours away, but we still kept in contact with the Buchanan family the best we could. And then life pulled us in different directions. But it doesn't matter where I am in my life. I know who Kevin Buchanan is. And I'm not saying that we don't change. We do. There's parts of us that don't. We're both kind of dorks. But we know for some reason who the other one's going to be by the time we catch up. And I know you can have friends like that. I've got some very good friends like that. My buddy Sean that's been on the show before. My buddy Jeff. Like, there are friends that I know when I see that I know who they're going to be. And it's not because of lack of development. It's just for some reason I know. But there's a difference with Kevin. And I really can't explain it in words. But I want to tell you something about Kevin that I never say out loud. Kevin and I both are cursed with one thing. When we go back anywhere in our past to where we were, people are always so happy to see us. But 90% of the time, they're happy to see us because we remind them of who our fathers are. Now, don't get me wrong. That's an honorable thing for both of us. We both think very highly of our own fathers and each other's. The way I look at Ralph is a lot of the same ways that Kevin has looked at my dad, because if something happened to Ralph when Kevin was younger, Dad would have been that guy. When Ralph passed away, Dad gave the eulogy. There was no way he wasn't going to do it in the church that he built with his best friend. You know, those things were going to happen. And we're both lucky that nobody lost a parent at a younger age. But there is that thing. You know, when we go back, I have a lot of my dad's mannerisms. We may be alike in a lot of ways. We may be maybe very, very much at opposite ends of the spectrum on some other views. But people always have this, I don't want to say it's a misconception, because sometimes I don't think that it is. But because of our mannerisms, we seem to be very much alike, almost like we mirror each other. Kevin's got a little bit of that of his dad, maybe more so than I see as he gets older. And I think it's kind of hard, because what happens is, and it bothers me more for Kevin, because he is more of the introvert of the two of us, but you're missing out on who Kevin Buchanan is, waiting for Ralph Buchanan to come back through him. Now, Ralph lives and breathes in anybody whose last name is either Buchanan or Alexander. There's whether we admit it or not, his spirit was one of the most powerful things that not only bound all of us together, which was obviously frayed when he passed away and time has come and pulled things apart, but he permeated who we were. What you miss, though, when you see somebody that's that powerful, who stands head and shoulders above everybody else, is maybe the people that walk around beside them a lot. And Kevin is that guy. Like, Kevin's family the family he has now with Julie, who's been on the show before. Kevin won't be on the show because he's a punk. But yeah, Kevin, I just said that. He's had opportunities. He just won't come on because he's shy and because he knows that his voice pales in comparison to the dulcet tones of what I put out into the ether each week. But Kevin is a guy that knows how to raise a family, who works with his wonderful wife Julie and their amazing daughter Stella, and they're not put together by accident. I know who Kevin's parents are. Like, I see it. But I also see him take what they taught him and push it in his own direction. Kevin's beliefs in being happy are very strong. Kevin's beliefs in you being okay with who you are extremely strong. But Kevin's got this one thing that I don't think he's ever given credit for. Before I get to that, let me tell you another story about our dads, though, and why tomorrow could be a springboard for two men to possibly dive deep into some type of midlife crisis. Back in the 1980s, Ralph turned 40, and Ralph was a little bit older than Dad. Dad decided to make the most gaudy bumper stickers you've ever seen before in your life. They were traffic cone orange with black lettering. All it said was, "Be kind. Ralph Buchanan turns 40 on whatever his birthday was." I can't remember what it was. And we lived in Traveler's Rest. Ralph worked downtown Greenville, about a 20, 30-minute drive to get to his office. Dad got up in the middle of the night and put these bumper stickers on every single stop sign, street light post, whatever he could find all over people's cars, from Traveler's Rest to downtown Greenville. I still to this day don't know how he wasn't arrested. He then got this other big sign. Ralph had this accident trying to take down a tree in my front yard where a chain snap popped him in the mouth, made his face swell up like a chipmunk. We actually thought he was hurt a lot worse than that. Very, very lucky that he wasn't hurt worse than that. And Ruth got Ralph, while his cheeks were swollen at the absolute most they could be, to smile a big goofy smile. She took a big picture of it. Oh, Dad got a hold of it, blew it up on like a 5x3 board, and had somebody with a cherry picker, I guess, or you know, like one of those utility line trucks, to put it up on top of a light pole with one of those bumper stickers underneath it so Ralph could see it on the way home. Then, of course, did the things like spraying 40 in his yard, but Dad didn't use yard paint. He used spray paint, so it killed the grass, and that 40 was there for like 5 years. It was just awful. Dad got it pretty good. A couple of other little things he did on the side, but it was pretty dang impressive. Until a few years later, we're living in Florence. It's about 3 hours away from the Buchanans at this time. And Dad goes to bed knowing that there's no way Ralph's going to be able to get him because he lives so far away. We woke up the next morning, signs on the highway. The yard is covered with spray paint, not yard paint. Trees have stuff all over them. And then Ralph got my dad's private line that people that would need counseling with the preacher had, only those people, and put it in the paper and had people call Dad all day long. Dad had to disconnect that line. The two of them were hilarious. So obviously, with tomorrow, April 18th, being my man Kevin Buchanan's birthday, there's this idea that I had. And I had actually cleared it with his wife. But I didn't do it. Because that's our dad's thing. And not that I'm trying to say it's not good enough to be ours. I'm just saying that's Dad and Ralph's thing. And I'm all right with that. Because I have the internet. So I'm able to do a show like this and put it out wherever I want to and tell you whatever stories I want to tell you about Kevin. I don't want to get on here and embarrass him. I don't want to talk about the time he broke his foot trying to play kill the man at a high school football game in the end zone, which is a very bad idea. Or I wouldn't want to embarrass him talking about the time he was going down for communion with his crutches and his feet went in front of him and he went flying halfway down the aisle and everybody thought he had crashed through the floor. Or how when he was a surveyor, he was digging and he's electrocuted himself. I think he got chased by he's been chased by a bull. I mean, I would hate to put those kind of stories out there on the internet because I don't want to embarrass my boy on his 40th birthday. There's this one time we're climbing a tree in the front of his yard and he fell out and he stabbed his own self in the mouth, kind of looked like the Joker for a while. I don't want to embarrass Kevin with the stories of his clumsiness that are absolutely epic. With anybody that was a kid at Gateway Elementary School back in the day. I wouldn't want to do that to Kevin. So I'm not going to mention those things here on the internet. And I'm certain I'm not going to put a picture of him up on Facebook tomorrow. I'm absolutely certain that's not going to happen. But no, that's our dad's stuff, right? That's not ours. And quite frankly, Kevin and I have a different relationship than our parents. We're not as close because we don't live beside each other like they did. But we're related. Whether we like it or not, we're related because the paths of the Alexanders and the Buchanans crossed at one time. And they frayed. And they've strayed off from each other. And they don't form the parallel path that they used to. But that's okay because life is that way. But I know out of all of them, and it's not to say that I don't have a great relationship with Ruth, his mother, who I still to this day love very much, his sister Lee or his brother David. Well, David, who I don't think I've seen David in 87 years. But, you know, I still have a respect for them. But you hear Ralph's name all the time. Let me tell you something. Ralph has shaped my life in a very big way. And I'm happy for that. But it's Kevin. Because I watched Kevin from preschool all the way up to where we are now. And I learned one thing by watching Kevin Buchanan. And maybe Kevin got it from his dad. I don't know, but I got this from Kevin, not because of anything he said, but the way he lived his life. I'm going to tell you right now, I have never heard Kevin Buchanan make a promise to somebody and not keep it. I have never seen Kevin Buchanan for a moment, one moment, let his word not hold water. Never. I mean, It didn't matter where Kevin's been. Kevin's had ups and downs in his life. He's had bad times. But Kevin's there. And what's crazy is there's a part of him that I don't think really expects it from other people. And he doesn't do it because he wants it from other people. He does it because that's the way to live his life. His daughter is that way. Julie is definitely that way as well. But I'm going to tell you, it's an amazing part of their family that you can see it. And when you see their family and the way they are together, I'm talking Kevin, Julie, and Stella, it is amazing and very apparent that their word is their bond. When they say something to each other, they mean it. I've been surrounded with people in my life, especially lately, that don't go out of their way. And I'm not really surprised by that anymore. I mean, you tell me right now, Brennan, there's this cool thing in my dad's church. Maria looked into it. So they had these, where we're going to get married, where we're going to stand for the wedding. There are these bricks. It's this cross. It's right by the water. It's gorgeous. And my dad was so happy one day. I felt so bad for him. But I was so happy. He wanted to show Bryn that they had it. So for memorials, you could buy a brick and put somebody's name on it. So my dad had him and his mom, him and my mom up there. And then he had the three grandchildren that he's got. They've got a brick. And then my sister and my brother-in-law got married at that church. So they brought a brick too. And so he wanted to show Bryn this brick. And he's like, look, Bryn, look at this. And my daughter very quickly looks at the bricks and says, well, where's my daddy's name? And I just kind of laughed and just kind of chuckled at that. I felt very bad for my dad, and I'm trying to explain to Brent. No, but Brent, look what they did for you, and isn't that very nice? And isn't it sweet? And you know, no, she wasn't really having that. So Maria, in a very sweet thing, told me that one of the things she had asked is like, hey, I want to see about getting a brick, maybe with our names on it, so we can put it there, and then, you know, the brand won't ask questions anymore, and we could do that. But Dad had told Maria that actually, sadly, the that whole thing is over, that you can't go and add bricks to it or whatever. And no offense to my dad, but if Sterling or Bryn asked me for a brick, I'd pull the thing up and chisel their names in it myself. I would go out of my way. Would I give my family an advantage? You're absolutely right. You want to know why? Because for 8 years in Traveler's Rest, the Buchanans and the Alexanders did that for each other. And nobody seemed to care. My dad had a wonderful congregation up there that was never jealous of the friendship that he and Ralph Buchanan had. And I've seen Kevin, I can't say it for Lee or David, his older sister and older brother, because I honestly, my life hasn't been as close to them, and they probably have done this too, but I can tell you from what I see, what has shaped my life, that Kevin doesn't mind doing what he needs to for his family, even if it's to put a smile on their face. Kevin's a guy that would go out of his way, and I'm going to tell you right now, he'd do it for me. If Bryn, who knows Kevin but not as well as she probably should, asked Kevin for something, he would be down here in a minute. God knows I'd be up there for Julie or for Stella if they needed it. And why is it that people are that way? I think truly what it is yes, it's the parents we've had. We've had great parents. We can't deny that. But it's what we do with what they teach us. I do have my grandfather's hot blood in my veins. I understand that because I am passionate about not saying what you're going to do or what your intent is. Damn it, that doesn't mean anything. What are you going to do? And if you're going to tell me something, are you going to live up to it or not? Because quite frankly, my life is now getting way too damn short to deal with people that will not stand up for what they've told me they're going to do. And then don't ever portray to me that you're someone that will go to the ends of the earth when you won't go to the ends of the sidewalk. I'm dealing with it more and more in my professional life every day. It's driving me insane. And I know a lot of that is because we live in a world where people want to cover their butts, you know? But I still live in a world where I think life's too damn short to live that way and be that way. And man, I'm going to tell you what, no matter what, I know I have a friend up there in the upstate that completely agrees with me and lives his life that way. Yeah, he may be one of the goofiest jokers I've ever met in my entire life. But man, if there's anybody that stands by his word, it's him. If there's anybody that will go out of his way, even if I don't ask him to, it's him. If there's anybody that I actually probably my entire life have modeled myself after, even though he doesn't realize it or probably even understand it, it's him. His beautiful family. I think the world of his wife. I think so much of his daughter. I am so glad that my daughter and his daughter get to hang out whenever they do. And it is the coolest thing whenever they do because it seems like it's nothing. It's almost genetic that they're supposed to. And maybe it is. But what I'm more concerned about is that whatever this thing is, that we picked up from the guys before us, that we have crafted into our own thing, that is probably a little bit more hard-headed than what our fathers were. But we're tough enough. You know, they'll say, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. At least we're tough enough to allow for it to forge into whatever it has for the two of us. I'm going to tell you, man, I am so happy that when I go into parts of my professional career, or even parts of my personal life, where I have people that take the easy way out, where I have people that let me down, where I have that. Yeah, I am so happy that I have somebody that I can look at and model myself and my daughter after and say, that's the way you're supposed to do it. That's how it is when you say something. That's how you go out of your way without somebody even asking. Yeah, his dad was like that. Yeah, Ralph was like that. Yeah. Yeah, my dad was like that for them. Yeah. I get that. But don't look at Kevin Buchanan in any other way than realizing that's Kevin Buchanan. Kevin Buchanan at 40 years old. Kevin Buchanan, the man that reminds me of the boy that I once knew when I see him. The first one of us to cross that 40 line. The age, oh my God, that I so remember both of our dads turning. We're now that, God, Kevin, we're now that old. We now have kids as old as we were when that happened. Yeah, I wish we had the entire cast of characters here to celebrate with. Life doesn't work that way. Life got a little dull. The sky wasn't as blue, grass wasn't as green the day Ralph Buchanan died for me. But I still have Kevin. Not as much as I should have him in my life. I don't do enough for him. You don't even hear me talk about him enough on this show. But I'm going to tell you, overlooking what is going to be his 40th birthday. Yeah, I'd like to run up there and spray paint his house. I like to put bumper stickers all over the town. I don't really know his route to work, though, so that probably wouldn't work. But I'm going to tell you this. I will sing that Joker's praises all day long because the way he's lived his life and the example that he is probably one of the main reasons why I've made it to where I'm staring down my 40th birthday in a couple months. I'm going to tell you, friends like that, yeah, they're seriously once in a lifetime. Now don't let me disrespect anybody. I think we both have people we look up to and appreciate. And I am very happy that I knew his dad. I'm very, very, very honored to be my dad's son. And I'm glad that we have that. But I'm telling you, that cat is something else. To Kevin, you're welcome for not mentioning any of the embarrassing things that you used to do. Definitely wouldn't talk about the time you shot me in the head with a BB gun. Don't want to get into all that stuff. And so I'm probably gonna save all that for my wedding when I probably take a couple jabs at my groomsmen. But I am glad that I know you, brother. And I'm glad that you're still alive and kicking. And I know that 40 is sitting there staring you right in the face, but I think 40 never looks so good. Just take my word for it. Don't go look in the mirror, man. Just take my word for it. It is funny how that age bothers us. That seemed to be, it was like such a funny thing for the baby boomers for a while, and then it turned into 40 is the new 30. Well, I guess 30 is the new freaking 50. I don't know what the hell, because I hurt at 30. God almighty. It's just something about that, you know, you make so much fun of it. You think it's not going to bother you till it gets here. I don't know how many of y'all have crossed that threshold, but God, it's bothered me this year. I'm still not sure why, and over the next few months, I will probably delve into that a little bit more. But for right now, I'm just thankful that Kevin's crossing that line first so I can see how much it hurts. And then I'm sure I'll be fine. Oh, well. Don't worry about it, Kev. A little touch of gray kind of suits you anyway, my man.
Thanks for stopping by the bar. We've picked up your tab. But if you'd like to leave the best bartenders you know a tip, head over to patreon.com/localbar and support the show. Any support is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to drop us a line, send your emails to chad@localbarmedia.com. Thanks for coming in. See you next week.
Yes, we will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks so much for being here. Well, I guess same time. Who knows? Unless one of the kids goes away. Hey, don't let that midlife crisis scare you. Happy birthday, Kevin. Take care.
This podcast is part of a Local Bar Media. For this and other shows, visit localbarmedia.com.